Hope everyone's having a good week. We made it back for another Sunday. All right. Always good when you make it back for the next worship service, isn't it? Let's get started this morning with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here this Lord's Day and together and to study your word. We thank you for the wisdom that comes from it. We pray that we edify ourselves, lift ourselves up from it, hold on to its knowledge, knowing that it will make us a better person and it will get us to heaven to be with you. Father, we thankful for everyone that's here and their desire to want to learn from your word. We thankful for this congregation, its desire to serve in this community, to spread your word and to be a light into this world. Father, we continue to ask that your blessings be on this congregation, be with our elders as they lead the flock here. Father, we ask that you be with the deacons and all the members here as they continue to serve and want to see this congregation grow. We especially pray that you continue to be with the deacon selection process as the elders find men that can serve over the different ministries that are needed here. Father, we have those of our congregation that we know that are continuing to struggle physically. We ask that you keep your healing hands on them, comfort them, return them back to their normal portion of health. Father, let our minds go to the cross this morning. Keep focused on Jesus this day, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. I didn't have anybody bring me up the challenge. In fact, teaching younger kids, I have stars around all the time. Believe it or not, I keep them in my coat because you never know what they need a star for. But like I tell my class, if you forgot to turn it in and you need to turn in after class, I still have the stars. I will accept it after class. No, it's always good to keep basic Bible facts in our head, isn't it? You never know when you're going to use them. All right. So this is my last week with you all. We're going to hand it back over to Rod next week. He keeps coming after me because I gave him the hard parts of Judges. I took all the easy parts, and I did that on purpose because I'm a selfish man. No, I'm just kidding. But part of it was Rod left the country. He left me hanging all my own, so I had to come up here and do this by myself. But we're going to finish our lesson this morning on Samson. So last week, we'll get through our timeline, so we're nearing the end of the timeline. So last week, we covered these four areas about Samson. So we talked about his birth and how he had godly parents. They even questioned him at times when he said, I need this woman to be my wife. They said, are you really sure? This is not a smart decision. But that they were also told by God that they needed to live the life that Samson should live. So they needed to be an example. So that was an example to us as parents that we need to do the same. Then we went through four different episodes of Samson showing off his strength. Unfortunately, did he give credit where credit was due each time? He did not. He kind of took that strength for granted, didn't he? And he didn't give God credit where credit was due. And so we talked about each of the flaws. So his some character flaws that he had, things like selfishness, arrogance. You know, he took God's gifts for granted. And then, however, we did see that through all of that, he still had a faith in God. And so the story continues this week. And so this part of the story is probably the one that we talk about the most or think about the most when we think about Samson. He loses his hair, doesn't he? This is the one where I should have brought all the construction paper and had you guys make hair for yourselves, and then we could have cut it off, right? So if you will, let's turn over to Judges chapter 16, and we'll get started there. We'll read through that, and then we'll start our discussion. So if you want to, you follow along with me. I'm going to read 1 through 18, and then we'll pick up from there. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, "Samson has come here," they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings, as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of a loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in her hand. So, we see a man who is about to take a fall, don't we? So we talked a little bit about this last week, and it continues on. A man that likes to live on the edge. So we kind of covered, at the beginning of 16, we kind of covered that episode where he went and found the harlot, pulled up the gatepost, and took him as one of the episodes of his flaws, showing his arrogance, and continuing his lust of the eye, which seems to be a big problem for him, doesn't it? It really gets him in trouble. He loves women. My question to us, do we live on the edge too much? Do we find ourselves at times where we also are willing to say, "Oh, I'm getting pretty close. How close can I get to that sin before I kind of fall over the edge?" Who does he give away his affection to? Delilah. Who should he have given his affection to? Exactly. I find it hard a lot of times to fault Samson in some of these cases. Because there are times in my life where God doesn't come first. So my affection is not with God, but with whatever I want to do at that time. Sometimes it leads to nothing. You know, a lot of times we don't, doesn't cause us problems, does it? But when it leads to things like infatuation or you just can't let it go, then it really gets in the way. Becomes that stumbling block, doesn't it? That seems to be Samson's problem. He always is looking with these first and not with this. We did talk about him being a very prideful man, so that shouldn't shock us, should it? But he's always looking for me first, at least up to this point in Samson's life. In fact, that's what leads into this one really well. He kind of makes a game out of this whole thing, doesn't he? And I think that might be why he doesn't question it, is he sees this as, I'm going to turn this into a game, right? And I'm going to drive this lady up the wall. That's right. Yeah. It's like when my kids ask me, after about 5 questions, I'm like, you either want to know or you need to just do what I tell you, right? Why do you need to know so bad? But he does it. To Miss Pat's point, he doesn't really question it. Yes, Neil. He did. Yeah. You think it draws a new line for us? You know, we pushed it this far. Yeah. Yeah. You say, oh, I could make it this far before I'm in trouble. We do. That's exactly right. Yep. Good point, Neil. We didn't point out last week at all anywhere where it said he was the smartest man, right? If you notice, with Delilah, it said, versus compare this to at the start of 16, it said he basically fell in love with Delilah, right? And to that point, not that love makes us do crazy things, but when you love someone, you actually do want to share things with them. But think about with Samson in this case, a man who was so strong, could do everything for himself. In fact, remember one of the examples we talked about last week, trying to remember the Ephraimites or one of the one of the cities, he went to battle on his own, right? He didn't let them come to help. He just went and did it. So we get this picture of a man who's willing to go at it alone all by himself. And he finally runs into somebody, a woman who he loves. He probably doesn't really know how to share himself with someone, right? So if you, I think I said this before, one of the things we do with our leadership training where I work is we profile. We take profiles of leaders, the things you do and things you don't do, right? And the point of the profile is you build character traits and you say, this is what I want and this is what I don't want to do, right? I mean, it's pretty kind of basic stuff. But if you build one of these for Samson, you build a man who is kind of a loner, who relies so much on his strength, he doesn't need anybody. How does that affect somebody mentally when you're just kind of by yourself for so long and then you run into somebody that kind of knocks you off your feet? And that's kind of what you get with Delilah. He falls in love with this woman, right? Makes him do some things he probably shouldn't. But to keep going, he treats this gift that God has given him trivially, like a game, let's say. And we've already seen this before. Yeah, Jim. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll get to that in here in a little bit, but you're right. God's using this still for his plan, right? Even though Samson is not taking this gift that God has given him like he should, he ends up, God's plan still ends up causing him to succeed in the end, and we'll see that in a minute. So Samson gambles with temptation. We see that. So the question we ask ourselves is, do we? Do we gamble with temptation in our own lives? Some temptations, what tempts me may not tempt you, right? So you may look at me and go, well, Jason, you're crazy. That I don't understand why that tempts you, that particular sin. But why do we tempt, though? In this case with Samson, why is he tempting fate, basically? Why is he tempting God? Why is he gambling with this temptation that this lady's going to bring him down? What is he relying on? Yeah, this whole time he's been able to kind of get himself out of trouble, hasn't he? He's got this great strength, been able to figure it out. Do we do the same? Do we think we're strong enough to get that close to some kind of sin and still be able to walk back from the edge? Great part of it is, what happens if you fall over the edge? We still have a way back, right? We're going to see with Samson, the way back doesn't turn out pretty for him, but he does have a way back in the end. He takes his gift for granted. We talked a little bit about this. Would you recognize that God's given you a talent? Be it for men preaching, ladies Bible class, sitting and being able to have an individual Bible study with somebody. That's scary for some of us to do. Makes us uncomfortable. Are you willing to just speak about, hopefully this doesn't scare you, you're willing to speak about God anywhere, right? But when you recognize that you have that talent, do you take that talent for granted? What you find a lot of times, people take their talent for granted, they don't actually use it. They're like, oh, it's there. I'll use it at some point. Right? Someone, you know, I can take a break. Got other people that can do it. It's okay. Samson kind of took his strength for granted, did he? Always figured, you know what, it'll be there. In the end, though, he does acknowledge God, but it comes a little bit too late. Today, we don't want to be late acknowledging God, do we? So here's the thing. Because I'm a sinful person, I am a sinner, does it mean that I should stop acknowledging God for who He is until I get myself right? I think sometimes people fall for whatever temptation they have. They fall into that sin, and then they say, I'm not worthy enough to acknowledge God is my source of strength. And it becomes too late. Samson will acknowledge God. It doesn't turn out pretty for him, but he will acknowledge God. We will all acknowledge God at one point, won't we? We will all bend the knee. Now the question is, are we going to make a good decision and be willing to bend the knee while we're alive today? I love that verse because when anyone makes a point God doesn't exist and you can't get anywhere with them, I say, my heart breaks for you because one day you will acknowledge God. I just don't want to have to see it when you do. All right. So let's keep going. So can I get someone to read 19 and 20? So, what's he lose? Loses his strength, but what else? Who leaves him? It would have been all right if he would have lost his strength, but to lose your Lord is a scary thing, isn't it? God only puts up with so much, doesn't He? We've seen that all through the book of Judges. He only tolerates so much. And then He says, look, you're on your own for a while. And we've talked about, just like in this case, that is made to humble, in the case of Judges, the nation of Israel, so they will turn back to God. Samson's about to be humbled pretty quick, isn't he? All right, someone keep reading. Let's read 22, skip down to 22, read 22 through 24. So Samson's allowed them to finally get the upper hand. Not just on the people of Israel, but how do you think he's made God look? Remember, we're Christians. We represent who? And Christ our Lord. How do we make Him look when we act like Samson? Kind of hard to get people to come to Jesus when we're acting like this guy, right? Now they're feeling, hey, your God, nothing. We got Samson, right? Someone back up real quick now and go ahead and read 21, verse 21. Loses his eyes, but like we just said, loses more than just his eyes, doesn't he? Why do you think they kept him alive, though? Wouldn't it just been easier just to kill him, be done with it? Mock him? Put him on display. Mm-hmm. Here's a symbol, a light example of God, the Israelite God, to all the nations around him, that this man could not be beaten. They finally beat him. Why are you going to kill him when you can just put him up on display and say, yeah, this is your God? No, your God's nothing. Most likely, that was why they kept him alive. However, God had a plan, though, didn't he? They don't know about it, but God has a plan. He was. You don't kill your prize, do you? So I got a question for us at this point. It says, are we guilty of holding on to those things that actually cause us more pain in the long run than the brief pain of letting those things go? Samson is experiencing some severe pain, lost his eyes, right? Physically locked up in prison, mentally, everything's taken away. Do we allow ourselves, not realizing that we actually are causing ourselves a lifelong, even an internal pain? Are we allowing ourselves to hold on to things at times that are causing that? Like, what if Samson didn't have any eyes at the beginning of the story? Would a lot of this happen? He was a blind man. What do you think? You don't have to answer that question, but it's something to think about, right? But verse 22 said what? Neil. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to that in just a minute. You're right. What'd you say, Edna? What happened? Hair grew back, right? So this is part of the story when you're talking to the little ones. It's hard to get them to understand that. Was it really the hair growing back that caused Samson to win in the end? Who else comes back with the hair? God comes back,
Right.
Yep. Well, you remember we just read, he said, I'll just jump up and I'll go take care of these Philistines, right? And it doesn't work after he gets his hair cut, right? Dottie. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, at this point in Judges, to what they're talking about, if you'll notice, it seems like the judges themselves parallel the nations of Israel. So things get worse and worse and worse. And the judges of choice aren't as in tip-top shape as they were back at the beginning of Judges, right? You had some very strong judges at the very beginning. They seemed to be very moral. They didn't seem to have a lot of flaws. Now we're towards the end of Judges, and Samson's got major flaws in him, right? However, the thread that we've been running is God is still using that man, right? He's still using them to accomplish what he needs to be accomplished. And I like Dottie doing the what-if scenarios. Mine always is, what if he was honest with Delilah out the gate? How would that have turned out, right? Would she have still cut his hair? But if he was honest with him and said, hey, look, I get my strength from God, not from my hair, that's a whole different message, isn't it? Like, does Delilah say, oh, okay, well, you know, the Philistines, they're terrible. I'm going with you, Samson. But honesty is not one of Samson's strong suits, is it? Yeah. That's a good point. We don't know. Yeah. Yeah, because that was a lot of money, right? I mean, you're talking multiple lords with like 700 pounds of silver each. Mm-hmm. There are. Yep. In fact, to Jim's point, to continue the spiral, you remember the nation of Israel always comes back to God, pleading with them for salvation and help. Samson's going to do the same. God comes to help him. Right? Can I get someone to finish out the chapter, verses 25 through 31, and we'll continue on. Thank you. So, they go to put him on display. Great feat of strength. To Jim's point earlier, crushes an entire building of Philistines. More than, even says more than he's ever killed to that point. So my question is, up on the screen there, how is it that this man who's fallen so far, from whom the Lord withdrew his presence, is able to receive again the Spirit of God? Samson had to do the work. What's that, Miss Edna? There we go. God just didn't come, did he? Just like today. God doesn't come and help us. You have to go pray and talk to him and ask for help. He says he's willing to give it, but we got to do our part, don't we? Same with Samson. He remembered God. He pleads with God to remember him. When a man's willing to plead to the Lord like Samson was, he's finally been, to Dottie's point, brought so low that he's humble enough to admit, it's not about me anymore. It's about God.
And when I'm studying with someone, particularly my sister, and we're talking about this, you know, Baptists believe a lot of different things. And I say to my sister, if you read the scripture, it does not have to deal with you. God's not going to open that door that you are not.
That's right. Yep. This last one's a big one for Samson. This whole time to this point in the story, who is he? Basically said is the source of his strength. He said himself is the source of the strength at this point in the story. Once he's finally been brought low, he says, God is the source of my strength. Are we willing to say the same thing? Do you realize that the things you accomplish in your life are because of God or because of you? It's tricky sometimes, isn't it? I'm not going to fault anybody who thinks they did something, right? Yeah, you had to put in some of the work, but who put in the most work? God did. But this society is a little tough because if you're in business or whatever, you got a lot of people telling you you're doing such a good job. They're putting you up on a pedestal, kind of saying, hey, you're a great person. Kind of gets in your head, doesn't it? You're kind of like, oh, hey, I'm good. You have to be strong enough to say, okay, I appreciate all of that, but it's not really just me, is it? God's allowing me to do some of these things. So who wins in the end? Samson? Would you call that a victory? I mean, he got to choose when he died. They tell warriors, that's a great, if you get to choose how you die, that's a great victory. You win. Did he really win anything? He got God back, didn't he? So whether he lived or died, there you go. There you go. So Samson acts in faith, relies on God as his true source of strength. God honors that request, doesn't he? Now some may question and say, well, his motives were still a little bit revengeful. But you kind of have to take it in context, right? To this point, in this episode of his story, he's all in with God being the center of what's going to happen. If you notice back, like when he set the fox's tails on fire, it was all about what he wanted, right? God wasn't really in the picture. So you got to keep that in mind. I would argue that it wasn't so much a revenge factor on his own, because I mean, if you're going to pull down the pillars and kill yourself, well, that's kind of revenge, but at least you know, not real good on the revenge side. We see a man who finally looks to God in the end. Real quick, can someone turn over to Mark chapter 23 and read verses 40 through 43? Hopefully we have another minute. Mark 23, verses 40 through 43. Oh, I'm in the wrong. I'm sorry, Edna or Carol. It's what I get, isn't it, for not writing my... writing all my stuff down. Well, I'll find it and read it for you. How about that? If I didn't have y'all to keep me straight, I'd be in trouble. There we go. Well, it's not Mark. Must be Luke. Ah, there we go. Thank you, it's Luke. I'm all in the wrong book even. So Luke 23:40-43. I know what it was. I had Mark written down for table duty. It says, but the other answered, rebuke him, saying, you do not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the thief on the cross, right? A man who's been brought as low as Samson. He's addressing the other thief who had just rebuked Jesus. Where does he also give his source of strength? To God. So my question to you, and I'll leave you with this, because next week Rod will be taking over, we'll be moving into Micah. Do Do you want to hear what Jesus had to say to the thief? Do you want to be like this thief? What did Jesus tell him? You will be with me. So my mind at the end of Samson always goes to the thief on the cross, because here's a man who suffered severely as well. But Jesus tells him, you will be with me. Oh, to hear what, to hear those words said to me on the day of judgment, you will be with me. So next week, we'll be moving on. So that ends Samson, ends most of the judges. We have a few more weeks left to cover, but we're going to get into some interesting things. Poor Rod. But Rod will be taking over. Read ahead. Probably 17 and 18 will be good if you want to read ahead. Be prepared for next week. All right. Thank you, everyone.